WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. The CDC has extended a moratorium on evictions, but struggling renters still have to apply for aid. Governor Northam signs voting rights legislation that is unique among southern states. And in part two of our Outside Education series, we're outside on the campus of JMU with a journalism professor and his students. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, April 1st. The Centers for Disease Control has extended a temporary federal eviction moratorium through June 30th. The CDC says moratoriums prevented about a million evictions in 2020. Whitney Evans with VPM in Richmond has more.
In Virginia, there were about 56,000 fewer eviction hearings last year, largely because courts weren't open. Palmer Heenan is an attorney with Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. He represents people facing eviction and says many tenants have still fallen through the cracks, despite state and federal protections.
Hundreds and thousands of these cases are happening across the Commonwealth, even during times that we know for a fact there were various moratoria in place.
Tenants still have to apply and meet eligibility guidelines to get help with rent and avoid eviction, and now they're legally required to work with their landlords in that process. And for federal protections, tenants must show they tried to access rental assistance. Whitney Evans, WMRA News.
Governor Ralph Northam has signed a state-level Voting Rights Act, one of a handful of bills designed to expand access to the ballot. Ben Pavier, also with VPM in Richmond, reports.
Backers of the legislation say it adds back parts of the Federal Voting Rights Act that the U.S. Supreme Court struck down in 2013. Virginia election officials will have to notify the public or get permission from the state attorney general before they make changes to elections, like closing a polling station. Voters can also sue over alleged discrimination. Republicans argued the process could be expensive. The new law is part of a wave of legislation from Democrat-controlled states like Virginia and New Jersey designed to expand access to the ballot. Many Republican state legislatures are moving to restrict early voting, fueled by false allegations of widespread fraud. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
When the General Assembly meets next Wednesday for a one-day session, lawmakers will consider legislation to legalize marijuana this summer. The Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Now that Governor Ralph Northam has amended legislation legalizing marijuana so that it'll be effective this summer, lawmakers get another crack at it. They get an up or down vote when they meet next week, and House members are widely expected to approve the amendments. But then there are Senate Democrats.
People smoke marijuana to get high.
Senator Chap Peterson, a Democrat from Fairfax City, says he's opposed to creating a new legal industry for marijuana.
The purpose of smoking it is to create an altered mental state, and that may be fine on your own time, but once you legalize something, then people have the ability to pretty much use that anytime they want.
Senator Cree Deeds is a Democrat from Western Virginia who says he's comfortable with the governor's amended bill, although he adds he would have liked to have seen a statewide referendum. And then there's Senator Joe Morrissey, a Democrat from Richmond.
I do not intend to support legalization of marijuana this summer unless and until there is a companion bill that eliminates all mandatory minimum sentences in Virginia.
Morrissey says he's hoping to persuade his colleagues in the Senate that they should join him in withholding their vote legalizing marijuana until lawmakers can take action on mandatory minimums. Michael Pope.
The latest proposal to legalize recreational marijuana in Virginia would grant new protections to workers. The industry is expected to create up to 18,000 jobs across the Commonwealth. And Ben Pavier has more.
The legislation requires marijuana businesses to stay neutral in union organizing. It also mandates they pay a prevailing wage and limits their use of contractors. Mike Wilson with UFCW Local 400 lobbied for the changes. He says it's about making sure workers get a cut of what could eventually be a $1 billion industry.
We feel like the best way to do that is to give them a voice through the collective bargaining process and allow them to be able to make a family-sustaining wage and benefits.
Governor Ralph Northam added back the labor protections, which had been removed in a previous version of the bill. Lawmakers still need to approve his amendments on April 7th. If the measure passes then, they'll return next year to review many of the details of retail marijuana sales. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
The ACLU of Virginia, Marijuana Justice, and other groups said the changes to the legislation are a historic milestone for racial justice and civil rights and will stop black and brown Virginians from being punished while the state sets up a legal marketplace. But they also criticized the legislation for treating youth possession as delinquency, subjecting young people to civil penalties and mandatory treatment. If you or someone you cared about faced an emergency and you needed to call for help, chances are you'd make that call on your cell phone. But aging 911 infrastructure does not always match up with cell technology, Virginia Public Radio's Jad Khalil reports.
80% of calls to 911 in Virginia come from mobile phones. When those calls go to a cell tower, it could be far away, across a border, or a river. That's to say, 911 telecommunicators sometimes don't get the right location, so they might need to start off with a different question.
When you receive a wireless call, it's where is your emergency, not what is your emergency.
Dorothy Spears-Dean is Bureau Chief for the 911 and Geospatial Services Bureau, part of the State Department of Emergency Management. She's also in a work group the General Assembly formed last year.
What the work group set up as their outcome was to improve the routing and processing of 911 calls, particularly across state borders and or county borders.
The group has a number of recommendations, which they should submit to the General Assembly by Thursday. They said the Geospatial Services Bureau should come up with best practices for how to reroute calls. They also recommended developing a plan to retain 911 telecommunicators, who often leave for jobs with better compensation. And they recommended putting together a project plan for more accurate location technology. I'm Jad Khalil.
Finally today, the COVID crisis led many universities to move classes online, but some enterprising professors took their classes outside instead. And one prof at James Madison University says he's going to keep his students away from the classroom even after the pandemic is over. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Houseman reports.
The campus of James Madison University in Harrisonburg was deserted last spring as faculty members moved classes to the web. But one professor of journalism, Hawes Spencer, was unhappy. He knew only too well how dull online meetings could be.
We have faculty meetings at JMU on Zoom. And if your camera's off, it's really easy to check your email or send a text message or see what the latest news on the royal family is. Not that I'm interested in that, but you know what I mean.
And frankly, he felt students were entitled to more.
I have three kids who are all of college age, none of whom are in college, because they are frustrated and don't want to spend the money for a virtual college experience. College is serendipitous interactions, those discussions after class, stumbling upon a new idea in a casual conversation. It's the friendships, it's the parties, it's the visiting speakers, the collaboration in the classroom. All this stuff is lost when we have a purely virtual experience.
So while he decided to record his lectures, allowing students to watch at their convenience, he turned classes into discussions and workshops on the quad.
Okay, students, can you hear me?
Yeah.
He might, for example, assign them to interview a stranger about a momentous event in their life, or step behind a tree and slip into a bright green costume.
He's got me!
It's one of those inflatable balloon-like costumes that envelops your body. It makes it look like an alien has abducted me.
The students were then told to interview other witnesses and to write about what they'd seen. Spencer read those stories aloud and offered an immediate critique.
He was yelling, "He's got me," Sophia Nunez said. He was kind of crazy, just running around. I like that because it really captures the spirit. Put you there as a fly on the wall.
Spencer concedes the outdoor experience can be distracting, but journalists must learn to focus, and he thinks being on the quad creates a sense of belonging.
In warm weather, there are students playing frisbee. I bring my dog Badger to every class, and he makes the rounds of picnicking students. And I think all these things contribute to building community, which is also important, particularly in a pandemic when people feel so torn and so separated from their peers.
There were days, he admits, when students grumbled about snow and cold, but he gave them coffee, hand warmers, and gloves. This spring, he says, he might make pancakes, and he'll do it with support from the administration. JMU's president and its dean of students
have both praised Spencer's approach to higher ed, and students like Madison Horitzik, Michael Staley, Bronte Johnson, and John Breeden love the class.
Personally, I feel I can be a little bit more creative outside.
We expect something new every time we're out here.
If there is any potential distraction, he quickly will develop it into a lesson.
I think this is a great learning environment.
And Spencer says he's sold on outdoor education for the long run, making higher education more meaningful, promoting collaboration, observation, and satisfaction with the college experience. I'm Sandy Houseman.
WMRA's Calvin Pinn assisted with some of the sound and photos for the web posting of that report, and you can hear Sandy's two-part report on outdoor education at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, stay safely connected, and enjoy your Thursday.